Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here is Peter Royce.
Collectively, they've been held for 13 years without being charged. Mohamed Majoub, Mahmoud Jabala, Mohamed Harkat, Adil Charkawi, and Hassan Almri. These five Muslim men are being held in jail in Canada on secret evidence, so-called secret evidence, which is unknown to the men or to their lawyers. October the 20th marked 3 years that Hassan Almri, a Syrian refugee, has been held in solitary confinement. On that day, activists with the Campaign to Stop Secret Trials in Canada sat down in solidarity with the men, and that was in the lobby of the building that houses the offices of the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, otherwise known as CSIS. Kirsten Romaine is one of the six people arrested in that action, and she's joined me on the phone this morning. Good morning, Kirsten.
Good morning, Peter.
So what is the situation for the men who you were protesting in solidarity with?
The men are imprisoned in, well, prisons in Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal. And they've been there, well, as you say, for a collective 13 and a half years. And they don't know the charges. They don't have the possibility for bail, and they're just putting in time there. And this is, here we are in Canada, a democracy. So it's a travesty of democracy.
Now, when you say the evidence against them secret, what does that mean? There's nothing written down? Or even for the, how can their lawyers deal with this?
Well, I wonder. There is nothing written down. They are all five Muslim men, and in this environment, this atmosphere of suspicion of terrorists, these men were picked up and put in prison, and they don't know what they're charged with, and their lawyers don't. We don't understand how this can happen, except it has happened, and it suggests it could happen to any of us. Who's next?
So what kind of actions have you taken on their behalf before this sit-in?
Well, we have done vigils. We have had educational fora. We have walked around the prison in Toronto, the Metro West Detention Center, calling to the men and letting them know that we support them and their families. And we've written to our MPs, we've demanded, well, we've asked for meetings with the Prime Minister and with our representatives, and we just get very little response, and we've gotten no response from CSIS.
Have you had any response from MPs or from government in any way?
Not much. Not much at all. There's just very little response. They say it's in the works, it's in process, and it's up to the judiciary.
That's a remarkable situation. Can you describe exactly what you did on October the 20th, what demands you made at the CSIS offices in Toronto?
Yeah, well, we went in about 11 o'clock on Saturday. Sorry, it was on October 20th, and we walked right into the lobby of the building that houses the CSIS office. And we sat down on benches there. There were about 10 of us. And we put up signs saying, "Stop the secret trials in Canada." And we handed out literature to people as they came by. And during our arrests, we were also handing out material to people. And the police didn't try to stop us. And we sent up a query to CSIS saying we wanted to meet with them and we wanted to get the secret so-called evidence from them so we could pass it on to their lawyers. in their defense, and CSIS did not respond at all. And so security came in, and police finally came in after a few minutes, and it was all very civil. And they asked us if we understood that we had to leave private property, and we said, but CSIS is a federal agency, federal government agency, and we should be allowed to be here and talk with CSIS. And they said, but it's private property, so we weren't allowed to be there.
Did you get any response from CSIS at all while you were there?
Nothing. No, and we haven't. We haven't gotten any response. They may be invisible. There may be no one there. We wonder, because when we call on them, there's no response at all.
Yes, it's a bit of a one-way relationship by the sounds. Now, before you were arrested, I understand that there were some conversations with the police about your reasons for being there. Can you give us an idea of how those conversations went?
Yes. Well, I'll do a role play here. And the first voice you hear is officer, and the second response I'll give is the resistor. And this is how it went. The officer said, well, you'll have your 15 seconds on the news tonight. And one of us resistors said, I hope these men will be released. The officer said, are they illegal immigrants? What are the charges? The resistor said, no charges. They're refugees and permanent residents, and this could now be done to citizens. The officer, well, it could be me or you next. Resistor, yes, it could be. That's why we're doing this. We're trying to generate public support for these men and their families. The officer, I think it's very important that you're doing this. If the public doesn't know about this, these men could just disappear. It happened in Chile. It could happen here. The resistor said, we think they should get a fair and open trial so they can defend themselves. There must be checks and balances. The officer said, I agree. There must be checks and balances. So there was a sympathy from the officers from the outset. They understood what we were about, and they looked like they regretted having to haul us out of the CSIS building.
That's really quite fantastic to hear that dialogue, and you reiterating that. It's a remarkable level of sympathy, I think.
It was impressive to be there because it was truly a dialogue that we had with the police. They understood our position very well. They were not opposing us, and they had their job to do, and they didn't like doing it quite clearly, and they did it very gently.
So what have you been charged with?
We have been charged with failure to leave the premises when directed.
What are the implications of that?
Well, they told us that we can plead either guilty or innocent. We are pleading innocent, of course, or we could be fined. So we are asking for a trial, and we are saying that we want to bring witnesses to show that there has been a travesty of justice, and we want to have people speak up for these men.
So getting back to your reasons for it, why have you taken the action that you did to highlight the injustice of the detainment of these men?
Well, this happened to be the third anniversary of the day that Hassan Amre was taken into custody without charge, without being allowed bail. And he's been there in solitary confinement in Metro West Detention Center for 3 years. So it was to commemorate that unfortunate anniversary. And that was a chance to bring the matter before the public and before CSIS again.
What kind of thinking led you to actually take the step of engaging in a civil disobedience action over this issue, where you put yourselves all at risk of arrest, which happened?
Well, we figure if we don't do this, things are going to go on the way they have been. These men have been put in jail. more people could be put in jail, particularly multi-ethnic people or people who look a little dark, in this atmosphere of paranoia since 9/11. Our civil rights can be trod upon very easily with justification. So we wanted to take an action to just show that we are not going to sit quietly by while these men are sitting in prison, rotting away, and their families are traumatized. They're often broken in spirit, and the men often broken in body from long-term incarceration. So we figured it's the time to do it. And so we try to seize particular anniversaries and occasions to bring this matter before the public.
Now, so I presume all 10 of you were arrested. Are you going to be contesting the charges?
All 6 of us were arrested. There were about 10 of us who went in, and some people stayed outside and inside leafleting and just talking with people as they came by. Yes, certainly we are going to contest it. This is a chance to bring up the whole idea of democracy and civil rights and the charter and, democracy in general.
Wow. Well, we certainly look forward to hearing more about that. So how can people further the work that you're doing and try to act in solidarity with the men that have been in jail for so long?
Well, people can act in solidarity for all of us, because we don't know who might be next. So what we would like to have people do is to write to Anne McClellan. She has something to do in the Ministry of Justice. And write to Judy Scro. She has something to do with the Ministry of Immigration. And people can write to us for information at Homes Not Bombs. Our website is www.homesnotbombs.ca. And it's the campaign to stop secret trials in Canada. And join us, people are welcome to join us December 10th, which is Human Rights Day. For a National Day of Action Against Secret Trials. And so you can find out more about that on our website. Also write to the detainees. They would welcome your letters and calls. We can also ask questions of our MPs whenever we have the chance. And last but not least, talk about this with others and keep the matter alive. These men have got to come out, and this mustn't happen again.
Thank you very much for talking with us this morning, Kirsten. I'm sure we'll be talking with you again about the issue, and we'll be keeping our listeners up to date on what happens with your trials and the rest, and with these 5 men. So we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this morning.
It's my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Kirsten Romaine of the Campaign to Stop Secret Trials in Canada, and she was arrested at the CSIS offices in Toronto with 5 others while protesting the detention without charge of the 5 Muslim men. And for more information on them, you can go to the www.homesnotbombs.ca site and get some of the information that Kirsten was talking about.
You've been listening to a program produced by Red Eye, an alternative media collective which broadcasts every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM, in Vancouver, Canada.